B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
Most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help you rate it.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, hour number two, Felger and Maserati. ESPN.com, behind the paywall, I think it was on the plus site or whatever.
Yeah.
Did a evaluation with the help of Pro Football Focus's evaluation, which they use, as you might imagine, war. So this is the football version of wins above replacement. They use it too. But either way, it's a jumping off point. With the help of Pro Football Focus, ESPN ranked all 32 teams on the value. So which is a little different of a approach and saying who drafted the best, or they're looking at who got the most value. But still, it's a jumping off point. They ranked all 32 teams on the value of their rookie class over expectation, given where each player was selected in the 2021 draft. So again, they're talking about what the value they got out of the player over expectation.
Oh yeah, the Patriots love this.
Okay,
because again, values, it's all about value.
They get to be the smartest guy in the room. Value investing. They say, listed with each ranking is an explanation of why they landed where they did. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So, number one. Guess who was number one?
Should have been Kansas City.
Okay. I wouldn't do this if it wasn't the Patriots, because it's the Patriots. Okay. Why should it be Kansas City?
I mean, so that linebacker they got, Bolton, is pretty good. And I know, and they've been talking it up if you watch some of these playoff games. Like, they have a couple of rookies playing on that offensive line, which looked shaky early and was certainly a sieve last year, especially in the Super Bowl, and one of the reasons they lost that game. So they have shored that up. I figured, you know, just me using common sense, you go with some of the teams that are now really deep playing for the Super Bowl legitimately. I would think Kansas City would have been one out of 32. So I open this up, this article behind the paywall, and I see Patriots number one. I figured there'd be top five, I'll be fair, but number one?
Patriots were number one. Why they're ranked there? Mac Jones was the most impressive rookie quarterback this season, earning an 80.4 PFF grade that ranked 11th overall. Christian Barmore became an impact player on the defensive line with 48 pressures that led all interior rookie linemen, and Ramondre Stevenson was a big part of the team's backfield all season. How their top pick fared. Jones exceeded many expectations, looking assured at quarterback for the Patriots from day one. He was accurate with the football and didn't miss many throws, but he did not finish the season strong with just one good game in his final six. Overall, Jones looked like he can be a solid starter moving forward, but questions remain about where exactly his ceiling is. It's a fair assessment there. They then rate the best value pick. Stevenson finished the season with the best PFF grade among rookie rushers. He rushed for over 600 yards, with 433 of those yards coming after contact. Stevenson was able to break 31 tackles and average 3.2 yards, blah, blah, blah. Okay, what's your thought on that?
So I would say overall they did. They had a good draft year. I mean, so now are they number one? I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm not that informed on all 32 drafts. So the value thing does sort of soften it a little bit for me. I think the Jones numbers are a little deceiving comparing him to other rookies because of the roster he's playing with versus some of the other guys. So in other words, if Trevor Lawrence had ended up here, I think that would have been a great value pick. You know, not that they were ever in the market for Trevor Lawrence.
No, but that's a great point. So Trevor Lawrence probably represents bad value given the year he had.
Exactly. So, like, there are some sort of hidden things there. But if you're asking me, did they have a good draft this year? Yeah. Yeah, they did. And I would say all three of those guys I like.
Can I give you my thought?
Yep.
Overrated. Which doesn't mean suck. And let me tell you what overrates it for me. I don't know, Vinny, if you know, just want to put it up there on the simulcast. Mac Jones, Christian Barmore, Ronnie Perkins. People, you know, have left out Ronnie Perkins as your third round pick. Was he on injured reserve? Like, I forgot even what the hell happened to the guy.
I believe so, yeah.
Ronnie Perkins, it was the third round pick. Ramondre Stevenson was fourth. And then was McGrone, the linebacker from Michigan, who was hurt all season long.
Mm-hmm.
And then Joshua Bledsoe, I don't even know what the hell he was. Defensive back?
I want to say safety.
I forget who the hell these guys are.
Yeah, Drew's kid.
William Sherman and Trey Nixon. I don't even know who they are. I don't know what they do. I can't tell you even their positions.
Trey Nixon was the Ernie Adams pick.
Okay. So, like, there's some indication of the bottom of their draft. It's like, who? Who? What? And where? What are these guys? Who are they? So, like, what is that? 1, 2, 3, 4. 5 of them, complete non-factors. Perkins, McGrone, Bledsoe, Sherman, Nixon. And half of those guys, I can't even tell you who they are. So we're talking about Mac Jones, Barmore, and Stevenson. I don't really count the running back because it's like you'll get another guy in 2 years who will do just the same thing. Those are disposable razors. Like, Stevenson is good right now. The odds are he won't even be here in 2 years, or he won't be as big of a factor in 2 years. And if you need another Ramondre Stevenson, just draft another guy in the fourth round next year. Like, they're just, again, disposable razors, those running backs. They're just in, out, this guy, that guy. You get them from all over the place. It's like, he'll probably tear an ACL in the second week next year. Like that, too. Like, they always get hurt. It's just, when a running back is one of your, quote-unquote, great picks or value picks, I just kind of discount it because he's just not going to be there long. And there's going to be another guy in there in short order. We all love Damien Harris. He's about to be phased out by the kid they just drafted. And this kid will be phased out in a couple of years by the next fourth round pick, or he'll get hurt in the interim. And it's like,
okay, so you have a positional bias.
Yeah. I mean, I just can't hang my hat on a running back.
But do you like Stevenson?
Sure. But I don't think he's a foundational piece going forward. How's that? Because he won't stay healthy, or he'll be replaced by the next guy. And so it's like, I treat all running backs like that, with the exception of a handful. There's a handful of guys that I would treat differently, right? And I can give them, you know, obviously Henry and Eckler in L.A., and, like, there's, like, a handful of guys. The rest of them, whatever, you know? And I put Stevenson in that whatever category. So I don't really give it to him. So I think their draft's a little over. Barmore, to me, was their best pick.
Yeah, look, Barmore's a big one, though.
They were horny for a quarterback, desperately needed one, so they took the 5th guy out of 5. He was available where they were picking, so they took him. That really didn't take that much.
How do you look towards the end of the year, though, especially those last couple of games?
Yeah, and I don't even know if he's what his ceiling is either. I think that was fair of PFF to write it like that. Like, he may just project, his ceiling just might be where he's at right now, which is good but not great. And so I think the draft was a little overrated. In other words, I'm going to try and parse this so I don't overstate it. You know, how much did that draft really close the gap between them and the competition? It did some. Like, I want to say it didn't close. You know, they got back into a conversation, the conversation, because they might have a quarterback. So, like, I don't want to act like the gap widened or anything. But like I said, you know, as has become apparent, the gap between you and the Bills has not shrunken. It's grown. And if we are to extrapolate what Kansas City just did, the gap between you and the Chiefs has not shrunk. It's grown. I don't think your draft has closed the gap on these teams.
No, it hasn't, at least not yet. But I will say this. This is where I think they had a good draft. I think Jones and Barmore could be good. I think they could be good players for a while. So again, I have my doubts. I'm not telling you they're a lock. But Barmore in particular, Mike, they needed a force on the interior of the defensive line. This kid's got a chance.
Yeah, I thought Barmore was their best pick. Like I just said, I think that's legit. Foundational piece going forward, pillar kind of, like, that's, you know, you can, like, he's one of the guys you can build the defense around. Absolutely. And they got him at a great spot. They targeted him. They even moved up in the second round to get him. That to me was a home run pick, obviously. Mac Jones, good. Let's see. And the running back, I'm sorry. It is. I'm a running backist. I am. And he just sort of falls in that next guy category. But, you know, as we look at the teams that are alive and how they've drafted, it's sort of a mixed record. You know, I know Vinny has some graphics, and we've been looking at it with our intern, Chase, so it's still a developing sort of sample. But, like, for example, have the Rams gotten here on the back of the draft?
No. The opposite.
Yeah.
They've traded their picks for, like, big-time players.
I mean, Vinny, at the simulcast, I don't know if you have the board on the L.A. Rams. There's, like, a handful of guys that they drafted. You know, and Donald counts, I guess, but he was drafted a million years ago. Yeah. So it's not like, you know, their drafts the last couple of years have put them there. Aaron Donald was drafted in 2014. This is his eighth season then? You know, so it's like, you know, I can't, I mean, did Les Snead even draft him? Or was that the was that Jeff Fisher? Like, who drafted him? I can't give Sean McVay and that current group, I don't think, credit for him unless I you know.
No, Fisher was still there in 14.
So, yeah, that was Jeff Fisher of all people, or his whoever his GM was. So I'm not going to, you know, separate my shoulder patting the McVay and Snead on the back for drafting Donald. They didn't draft him. Otherwise, you know, their big draft picks, Cooper Kupp, third round pick in 2017. Great pick.
It was a good one.
Okay, their tight end, Tyler Higbee in 2016 in the fourth round. Good piece.
Solid player. Yep.
Their center, which I can't tell you much about, Brian Allen, was a fourth round pick in 2018. Good pick. You know, they have a tackle, Havenstein. Good player, right?
Yep.
Second round pick in 2015. Good. A couple of their receivers, Van Jefferson, was a second round pick in 2020. Interesting.
Snead was there in 2014 with Jeff Fisher.
Oh, he was. So yeah. I will give Snead credit. Okay, but it's still sort of a, you know, well, anyway, that was 7 years ago. Like, if we talk about recent drafting, I mean, the Pats had a good draft in 14. It's just not recent. But anyway, no, the Rams were built on the back of big trades, star players, and money. Money, money, money. That's how the LA Rams got to where they are, and the Donald pick a million years ago, if you want to throw it in there. I mean, that, of course.
I mean, it's amazing when you look at their roster, how many guys they traded for, you know, between Ramsey, Stafford,
Well, Vaughn let me give Miller. It to you. Jalen Ramsey. You sent out two firsts and a fourth for Jalen Ramsey and then paid him 5 years and $100 million. He's the highest-paid cornerback in football. Matthew Stafford. You sent two firsts and a third out the door with Jared Goff and his money for Matt Stafford, who is in the midst of a five-year, $135 million contract, $27 million per year. Aaron Donald is the highest paid defensive lineman in the NFL, $22.5 million per year. You traded for Von Miller for second and third round picks. He's in the final year of a deal averaging $19 million, although Denver picked up that money. Odell Beckham, they went out and got. 1 year, $1.25 million, which isn't a big outlay, but it was a vast overpayment because no one was offering more than minimum for that guy. So, that's how the Rams were built. The Rams weren't built through the draft. And I'm giving you the Donald pick. Like, that's obvious. But it's not like their recent drafting has put them where they are. It's just kind of the opposite.
Oh, no. They weren't built from the inside out. The only other guy that's missing because he's hurt now is Woods, the wide receiver, Robert Woods. That was a draft pick, right? Yeah. So he's been a good player for them, you know, in the time that they've had him. This year, obviously, he's out for the year.
Okay, I want to pick this up on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Do you believe in moral victories? A good loss? We'll get them next time.
No silver linings here on Felger and Mazz.
Then you are in the wrong place.
You have to accept that, so we...
Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Just picking this up, when you look at the teams that are left, I don't know how big the draft has been. Other than a team like, I would say, Cincinnati, which I think is sort of obvious, but also doesn't apply to you. Cincinnati is one of these teams that pick in the top 10 every year.
Right, doormat.
Vinny, go ahead and show, you know, Cincinnati's board here and their draft picks recently. I mean, yeah, their team is built around Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, and guys like this. Burrow was the first overall pick. Chase was the fifth overall pick. Like, what do you, like, you're not going to get those picks. That's not you. You're too good. Never mind their tackle. Jonah Williams was 11th overall pick. So, like, they're drafting at the top of the round. So, the top of the first round, guys, yeah, okay. You suck so bad. You're such a pathetic franchise. You keep drafting up there. Eventually, you should hit on something eventually. And Joe Burrow dropped into your lap. So, congratulations. I'm going to call you a good drafting team because you have Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. How hard was that? When was Chase drafted?
This year.
Okay, why does this draft year say 17? That's just a typo. Yeah, it was this year.
Definitely,
yeah,
definitely a typo.
Right, okay. I just want to make sure I wasn't seeing things. But so, back-to-back, Burrow and Chase. Neat. You sucked two straight years. Are you a great drafting team? Now, the rest of it, like T. Higgins and, again, Joe Mixon running back, good player. There'll be another running back there next year or the year after because he'll get hurt or they'll draft the next guy. Like, I don't want to include the running backs. T. Higgins, a couple guys on defense, like their safety, Jesse Bates, their linebacker, Logan Wilson, you know, that tight end there, who's not Hushmanzada, but every time I see his name, I want to call him Hushmanzada.
Uzoma.
Feels like a good player.
Yeah, I like him too.
Big part of that offense.
He's gotten better too over the last couple of years.
But, you know, just, you know, T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd, those guys are factors, right, in that offense?
Yeah, but you know what I will say about those players? They got better once Chase got there.
And they're all second round and lower, which is why I'm pointing them out. So you could have had those guys. So mm-hmm. I'm not. So once you get past the top of the first round, it's like it's fair to look at just because Cincinnati's drafting at the top of the second. I don't give, you know, if you want to draft at the top of second, you can get to the top of the second. You did it last year with Barmore. It's not hard. So after the first, it's like, all right, so is Cincinnati a good drafting team? Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I think the whole operation there is a joke.
Yeah, right.
I don't want to give them any credit. I think they just, you know, dropped into a couple players at the top of the draft because they suck so bad. But, you know, the Niners have obviously drafted well, but extremely aggressive at the quarterback spot. I mean, I want to give the Niners a ton of credit for what they did. And their owner. Talk about an owner that put his money where his mouth is.
You got to give the Bengals a little bit of credit, though, Mike. I mean, the Jets have had 9 top 15 picks since 2013, and they're still the Jets.
Yeah, and if they were drafting one, they would have had Burrow. And if you know, they just drafted 2 in the wrong year versus 1 in the right year. I think they're the same. A couple of bozo franchises, and the Bengals just backed into Joe Burrow. And they easily could have been the Jets the next year with Zach Wilson at number 2. Could have been the same thing. I don't think there's any brain power in Cincinnati that's any greater or worse than the Jets. They're both a joke, as far as I'm concerned. So I'm sorry, Murray. I don't quite agree.
Okay. I mean, I know that there was debate this year, though, with this particular pick that they had 5th overall. Take the tackle. They need help on the offensive line. They said, no, we're going to go with the weapon with Chase, and that seemed to pan out pretty well.
Yes, no, they nailed it. They nailed the Chase thing. A lot of people were down on him. You're right. So whoever made that call, good for them. But if he wasn't Joe Burrow's college teammate, would they have done it?
Oh, no.
Probably not.
I don't know. So it's
probably not.
So it starts with Burrow, I think. Well, anyway, the Niners certainly have drafted. While you look at Bosa, Armstead, who was, you know, a force this last weekend in Green Bay. Again, Ayuk, there's another low first-round wide receiver who's a legit guy. Their safety, Jimmy Ward. Deebo Samuel, don't get us started on that. On the board for you when you draft a N'Keal Harry. Fred Warner, the linebacker there, terrific player. Kittle, 5th-round pick. Again, Elijah Mitchell, the running back, I'd like to wipe from consideration. But, you know, they've drafted well, obviously. But the way they handled the quarterback thing, a lot of respect there. That's something you would not do. You would not spend that money for Jimmy Garoppolo. You had the chance. You had the chance to do exactly what the Niners did this year, which is pay Jimmy Garoppolo and draft the next guy. You didn't want to do it because you didn't want to pay him the money. The Niners did, and they're in the NFC title game. And I'm glad that it's worked out that way for them because I want that owner to be rewarded for spending money. There are not many owners in that league who know that Jimmy Garoppolo is not the guy, and he's just going to keep the seat warm for a year while we, you know, give up 2 extra first-round picks to move up and draft the guy. So, you know, that Trey Lance trade, they sent 3 first-round picks. One of them was there, so I don't know how you look at that. Did they send 3 picks or 2 picks? They sent 2 extra picks to move from 12 to 3 to draft Trey Lance and pay him a good salary. He's a 3rd overall pick. And then brought Garoppolo back at $25 million and paid him. There's not many owners who would do that. A lot of credit to those guys out in Cincinnati.
See, that's the kind of owner I'd want.
They were justified.
I mean, look, we have good ownership here, too. I'm not dumping on the Patriots. I'm just saying that. I think
they wouldn't do this.
No, but I.
They had the chance.
Right.
They had the chance.
Yes.
They wanted Garoppolo to take a pay cut. He wouldn't do it. And so they went to plan B. But they could have done this exact same thing. Now, I don't know if Trey Lance is the guy or not. So we'll have to determine that. But the Niners are just where you want to be.
Yeah. I think at that position, you go the extra mile. But I do have an opinion on the Niners and how they're built.
Go.
Okay. So look at their drafting's impeccable, it's tremendous. Why haven't they won it?
Quarterback.
Okay, so like you come back to that. Like it's sort of, are you better off building the team and hitting on all these draft picks? Or are you better off having the quarterback? So I sort of look at the Niners and I say, well, look at all the picks that they've hit on. Now, if they win it, good. But are they going to stay there because of that? Or are they going to stay there because they have the quarterback?
Quarterback's got to get good.
So they got to hit on the quarterback. Until they get the quarterback, it's not going to really matter all that much.
True that. I guess the conclusion here is the Patriots drafted better last year. I like their draft. I think it's a little overrated, but I like it. And they need to draft better to close the gap. But I think a lot of these teams are just here because they were aggressive and spent money. And whether that's, you know,
San Francisco, the Rams.
And I think, you know, the teams that are you know, that just fell off this last weekend, lost on the last play of the game, whether it's Tampa, who's super aggressive financially. The Packers, I think, were 7th or 8th and 5th in team actual cash spending this year. They spent through the nose this year. Tennessee was the 6th ranked team in the league in cash spending. And the Bills. The Bills, I think, were aggressive with Stephon Diggs and Beasley and surrounding Josh Allen. The rest was just sort of good drafting. I'll throw up the Bills real quick, Vinny. Josh Allen, number 7 overall. They nailed it. Did they move up to get him, or were they just at 7?
I think they traded up to get him.
I don't remember.
So if they traded up, I'll give you extra credit for that, for identifying the guy, being patient with the guy, developing the guy. You nailed that whole thing. Good for Buffalo. But they got a lot of guys through the draft. Tremaine Edmonds, their linebacker, Tre'Davious White, who's not even playing right now, were first-round picks in back-to-back years. You know, Dawson Knox, who has come on. Boy, that first Patriots game in the wind where the Patriots won, I looked at him and said, this guy freaking blows. What a puss this guy is. And then he was pretty good the next two and is pretty good right now. He was a third-round pick.
Yeah, just real quick. They traded from the 12th spot to go up to 7 to take Josh Allen.
Good for them. Nailed it.
Oh, yeah, they did nail it.
And, you know, here's another one. You want another receiver that you can shake your head at? This Gabriel Davis with the 4 touchdowns this last week. Looks like he can play. This, come on. 4th-round pick in 2020. Huh. Isn't it amazing how many receivers that we just mentioned? Between the Bengals, you know, with T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd, or now Gabriel Davis in the 4th round, the Niners with
Samuel and Ayuk,
all these receivers that were drafted at the end of the first or later, they're falling off the tree. And you picked the one guy that couldn't play. Isn't that unbelievable? Like, you picked the one guy that can't play.
I mean, it's astonishing how badly they missed in that draft. When you go back, it's like the Bruins in the 2015 draft, not to cross sports, but you get the idea. No, really, you could have been blindfolded, playing pin the tail on the donkey and hit the donkey's ass.
Look, I think, well, I mean, you want another commonality? All these teams were aggressive at quarterback. How's that? They were aggressive at quarterback. The Bills traded up from 12 to 7 to get their guy. The Niners spent through the nose just for a guy to keep the seat warm because they knew their roster was good and the rookie wouldn't be ready, and they've been justified. They're knocking at the door of a Super Bowl. Good for them. I like teams that spend money and win because I, you know me. I'm obsessed with this narrative around here that the team pushes and the bobos in the media parrot. That it's dumb to spend. It's dumb to spend on a quarterback. You can't have a quarterback take up too much of the cap. These teams are headed to cap jail. You want to trigger me? That's the number one thing. Number one on my hit list, baby. So when another team spends and is aggressive and wins at a high level, I like it. I like it. They're justified. Well done, San Francisco. Well done, Los Angeles. Well done, Buffalo. You were aggressive. The Bengals, get out of my face.
You could even say Tampa.
Bengals, you just sucked. You just sucked, and the guy dropped in your lap. I don't give you any credit. The rest of them, the Bills saw their guy, traded up and got him, and then spent to surround him. Diggs, Beasley, whatever. The Bucks, aggressive, spent, went for it. And they're, you know what their cap space is? Just fine. Just fine. Probably even a little bit better than yours, frankly. They're not in cap jail. And be able to surround Brady just fine, and they will continue to. Because if an owner wants to spend it, they can spend it. The Rams, don't even get me started. Traded every draft pick, spent every dollar they can get their hands on. And they're in pretty good shape as far as I'm concerned, one game away from the Super Bowl. I like it when those teams are rewarded. So yes, 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 draft better. You must. You have to draft better. But it's okay to be aggressive too, especially at that position. All right, I'm done. I promise. To your phones after Big Jim Murray gets you updated.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Still all about sports.
We don't take it seriously.
And whatever's on Jim Murray's mind.
Get over the persecution complex, you children.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
One more thing. I just, following up on this. Hey, you and the Rams were, the Patriots and the Rams were in the Super Bowl. It's going to be going on 4 years ago. Okay? 3+ seasons ago. The Rams are still here, and you're in this rebuild. How'd they do it? They didn't do it through the draft. Who have they drafted in the last couple of years? That's making a huge impact. I mean, again, there's a couple fringe guys, but none of their core guys, none of the what you would say is the reason they're here. Stupid running back who fumbled twice last week, and they traded for Sony Michel. Like, it's like the Rams were, you and the Rams were called the two best teams in the league in 2018. They've also changed quarterbacks. They've been good the whole time and they're back here. You've sucked and aren't here. How'd they do it? I don't think it was the draft. So you tell me.
No, they spent.
Yeah, aggressiveness.
Yeah, and they didn't just spend money. They also spent draft picks and made trades. So, like, but the point is, ultimately, you're talking about aggressiveness and proven talent.
Like, so this thing that the Patriots had to reset that badly, how did they have to reset that badly? The Rams haven't.
Well, you know the answer to that because they drafted like crap.
But I don't know what the Rams have drafted the last 4 years. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Okay, but the Patriots have done neither.
Yeah, right? Well, there you go.
Right. So
anyway, I just like teams that spend and win. And boy, it sure feels like the Rams haven't had to go through the transition you have. So anyway, that just occurred to me. All right, anyway, I promise. Back to your phones. Here's Adam and Law. What do you got, Adam?
Hey, guys. I think I know why the Pats got the best draft number one spot. I think they were so impressed that Bill actually drafted NFL-caliber talent this year. I mean, it's unbelievable. And unlike other teams, you know what's fun? I wish I was a fan of a team that when they drafted a rookie, he played his rookie year. That would be awesome. What a novel idea, huh? Actually taking advantage of all the years of their contract. And on top of that, I find it hysterical you guys were talking to Bedard about who Bill's taking at 21. He's not taking anybody at 21. He's going to have to pay J.C. Jackson because he's too cheap to pay him. Or, you know, even better than that, he's so good of a coach, he doesn't need high-end
okay,
talent.
You're giving me too much. I think the Pats this year, in terms of their value, like they're, again, considered by ESPN and PFF the best value draft in the league, is just overrated. You know, and they got the most over expectations. So because Mac Jones was the best rookie quarterback and he was the fifth taken, that just gives him a good value score.
Correct.
Doesn't mean they have the best player.
Correct.
Just means he was drafted the lowest and gave him the best first year.
Right.
But really, at the end of the day, what did that net you? That netted you a 10-8 record and getting your doors blown off in the first round. Like, neat.
And there is still the question of who would you rather have over the long term, him or Trevor Lawrence?
I'd still rather have Trevor Lawrence, and the jury's not out on Zach Wilson or Lance or, you know, any of those guys. Who knows? So, like, overrated, and they got a lot out of the fourth-round running back. Well, that's never happened before. Boy, you never just get a running back out of the woodwork, you know, all of a sudden emerging and being a guy. That doesn't happen. I'm being sarcastic.
Okay, at least they took him in the fourth round and not the first, though.
Thank you. Fair enough. Dakota and Braintree on the Celts. Go ahead, Dakota.
Okay. You know how you always talking about, like, the green hats, the green teamers as fans? We need to put an end to the green hat media people, okay, that are out there, that after two games they think, oh, you know, they're an Eastern Conference final again team, and this team just needed to be healthy, and they all needed to get on the same page. This is like a marriage that you know you're going to get a divorce, and you're trying to find excuses after therapy, okay, of why it's going to keep working. It's not. We have a big enough sample size with the Celtics over the past few years that this chemistry does not work on this team. Do not let a couple of games in Jason Tatum, who I think got his third regular season 50-point game. He's still one behind Carmelo Anthony. I think Anthony has four, okay? Does not make him the next coming. He's not a top player. This team is not going anywhere, and we're at the middle of the pack, okay? And it sucks. It sucks, Dakota, to be a Celtics fan.
What you're saying, our fans and media need an intervention.
They do. And you know, it's crossed over. The media and Stoolie Greeny, okay? This guy has been wrong for how many years thinking that this team was going to win an NBA title and be an Eastern Conference champion? Okay, every year he says the same thing. And he want to fight with this guy, and he's leading the green hats and the rest of the media with the Brian Robb saying, like, oh, my God, Smart's back, and look at their net rating against the goddamn Sacramento Kings who didn't come to play last night.
So you mean there's you mean Barstool's leading like a fan club kind of charge? That's surprising to hear.
He's right, though. That's the undertold part of last night's game, is that not only does Sacramento suck, they quit.
They decided not to show
they
up.
They never De'Aaron showed. Sucks, they never showed. They go complete no-show. You don't get down by 60. I don't care who you are if you show up.
So a buddy of mine texted me this, a good theory as to why Tatum has been so engaged in playing well lately. So every one of the top 20 players in NBA 2K has at least one 90-point score in all three categories: overall rating, three-point shooting, and dunking. Tatum currently, because these things change as the season goes, is under 90 in all three. He thinks he's trying to get those rankings up before All-Star weekend.
And don't forget the All-Star game. Right, exactly. Right. The All-Star game.
And Jimmy, you've mentioned this before, like the importance of NBA 2K and these ratings to players. Like, this isn't so far-fetched.
Oh, 100%. Like, Tatum's been under a 90 for a while now in his NBA 2K rating. Ugh. And there are players like LeBron James who will go and play games and simulate to see what future roster moves might look like.
Oh, God. These guys have been waiting really patiently. So just real quick, Neil and Rockland, are you still there on the overtime?
Yeah, unfortunately, I am. Listen, Felger, I know you like the Belichick idea, and I think that's a good idea. But hear me out.
Quickly, please, quickly.
Add strategy and answers the...
Go. Give me your idea. Go. Pitch it. Go.
You have an idea at the end of the game that you add most yards, most first downs, whatever you come up with, and that's the winner of the game.
Okay. I hate it. Here's Steven in Boston. Go ahead, Steven.
Yeah, most yards.
But thank you for the call. I don't mean to be mean. Steve, go.
All right. So, Maz, obviously, regarding the Hall of Fame, you're pretty level-headed in how you vote, thoughtful, and you don't take things personally. However, the criteria of voters is that they actually, after they retire, correct me if I'm wrong, they get 10 more years of voting. Do you think that needs to be changed?
No, I don't. I'll tell you why. Because a guy doesn't come on the ballot until 5 years after he retires anyway. So if I covered my last game in 2010, which, again, I've been given some sort of extension.
Okay. Did you actually cover a game in 2010 when the show was going?
I think so.
Yes, because Terry Francona cussed you out.
So that, I remember, that was 09. That was early on. Where he didn't he chirp you in a press conference like, that guy's getting to you?
Something
like referring
that.
To me?
Maybe. I don't remember. But I think I still covered some games in 2010.
Yeah.
Which means my vote should have expired last year, but they gave me another one.
Well, don't say anything.
No, I'm not saying anything.
Let's stop talking.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm clamming up. Compared to the people that are voting, holy crap, I'm totally qualified.
Long commercial-free segment comes your way right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is the place Boston sports fans come to get some positive vibes for their teams.
Anything but. It's time to panic.
Maybe not. Now, back to reality with Felger and Maz.
I do think a little bit like what we heard with like the Aaron Rodgers situation after the game the other day, and to something you're saying, Mike, I think he probably wants to look back at the team a little bit and evaluate it. Like Rodgers said, he doesn't want to be a part of a rebuild. I think Brady's probably looking at it a little bit like, wait, you know, I just heard Bruce Arians yesterday make a comment like, I don't think we'll be able to keep everybody together like we did last year. Last year we got it done. This year it sounds like they're not quite sure if they can quite keep everybody together in the band there. So I'm sure Brady would like to get a feel for that. But I still go back to, like, I'm shocked. I really am shocked. I mean, the quote of, I'll know when I know, I'm still like, well, I mean, we've known. We knew. What happened? What happened? We knew. You told us you're playing through 2022. You're going to be 45 and play. Like, where did it all change all of a sudden? That's where I am absolutely shocked.
Chris Sims on Brady. I just bring that up because of this Byron Leftwich story from today. There were reports earlier in the day that the Jaguars were trying to finalize a deal to make Byron Leftwich head coach. I'm reading straight from Pro Football Talk. That was their headline. But then another report came out that said Jaguars aren't close to a deal with any head coach. Never mind Byron Leftwich. Do you think Byron Leftwich is a factor in Brady's decision? Stu, what do you think? I'll ask you. You've got a phone.
I think it's part of it. But I think Brady's done. I think Brady's just mentally done with the whole football operation in Tampa altogether.
So is he done with Tampa or is he done with the sport?
I think he's done with the sport, but I leave open the door that somebody else could come around and give him an offer he can't refuse.
He's done with Tampa. That's what I think.
Yeah.
Feels that way.
Yeah, he's done with Tampa. He just, you know, again, because I'm with Chris Sims. I think Chris Sims is right. What changed? He was all gung-ho. Yep, 2022. He even signed a deal that basically, you know, committed him to that. And so all of a sudden now he does a 180? Why? Something happened inside there. And other players there have alluded to turmoil during the course of the year.
That was the word used by Levante David.
Yes. So there's something happened inside that made Brady say, I'm either playing somewhere else or I'm not playing.
Aaron's the coach.
Yeah. No, well, I know. I mean, but what specifically happened there?
Yeah.
Like it's all too loose. This is probably something Gasper said last week. Maybe this experience has given Tom a little bit more of an appreciation for Bill and how he runs things.
I bet I think you it's more than that.
It's too loose there.
I bet you it's more than that. Like, okay, so what? He thinks everyone's going to coach like Belichick? The next guy's going to be loose too. Okay, so that's going to happen too. Something happened. He didn't get something he wanted. Aaron's, or maybe it's Antonio Brown.
Right.
Something OBJ. Happened there where Brady said, this guy's an a-hole. I'm out.
Odell Beckham, Jimmy, he wanted him?
Yeah, Tom Brady wanted OBJ, and they dismissed him on that one, they being the Buccaneers management.
I'll tell you, the Odell Beckham people have been justified. He's balling out there. He's a big factor in what they're doing.
Yeah, I didn't think he was as big as you did, and then he's getting better every week, too.
I didn't think he was as big as you did?
No. As big a factor as you did.
Say what?
Going into the playoff.
Oh, well, I mean, I thought he'd give him nothing, though. I mean, like, I had a low bar. I mean, I thought he'd go there, pitch a fit, and not even be on the field.
Well, right. And at the beginning, I didn't think he was given very much, but it's getting better. My point is, you were closer to being right about him than I was.
Got it. No, I mean,
closer.
I thought he would. I thought he'd be a non-factor there, and he's just a factor. So, which is more than I thought. Which so like he's they were justified in that signing is what I'm saying, and I think most of us thought they would not be justified in that signing, but they have been. All right, which another reason to applaud the Rams to be aggressive, spend money, try and win. It's okay. That doesn't mean you're stupid. Don't listen to the people around here who tell you it's stupid.
They have literally grabbed or traded for every big name player who's been on the market. Just about.
Oh, but wait, they'll be in cap jail. Yeah, you said that 4 years ago. They're still here and you suck. So explain that to me. Explain that to me, because you told me this about the Rams 4 years ago, 3 years ago, that they were in deep trouble. Yet, they've been good the whole time. They're back knocking at the door of a Super Bowl and you suck. So explain that to me, please. Back to the phones. Hi, Laura. Laura's in Lowell. She wants to talk about the Hall of Fame. Hi, Laura.
Hey there. Hey, two things about the Hall of Fame that I think has been ruined, the Baseball Hall of Fame, by steroids and this issue of likability. Because, first of all, take a team. I know you guys hate the Dodgers, but the mid-70s to early-80s Dodgers went to the World Series four times, and there's only one Hall of Famer out of that whole bunch, Don Sutton. And what about Steve Garvey? He was a perennial all-star. He won the 74 MVP. He was super consistent.
Laura,
he had the important – yeah.
So what's the point here exactly?
So the point is Garvey's not in the Hall of Fame because people don't like him and because his numbers look tiny because the steroids came around right after he – left.
Okay, I got it. I'm going to drop you. Thanks
for
the call.
She must be doing yard work with Schilling. Gasping for air.
In her Dodgers jersey.
Seriously. So look, you know, first of all, Garvey's numbers, Garvey did not get omitted from the Hall of Fame just because of the steroid guys.
Didn't he say some real crazy stuff at one point?
He's your classic, very good player who wasn't great. I've been saying that about a lot of guys on that team, which is probably why a lot of times they ended up losing in the playoffs as good as they were. So I don't think that that's it. And I understand, look, she's a Dodgers fan, so I don't even want to like dwell on that part of it. But I do agree with the overall assessment that the Hall of Fame now has been completely diluted. So the whole steroid thing has sent voters into a spin. Nobody knows what to do. I didn't know what to do for a long period of time. I feel like I've got a better grasp on it now than I did before. So, you know, don't make it too complicated. It's a baseball Hall of Fame. Vote for the best baseball players.
But, you know, Garvey, you can correct me on the timing, but he was being voted on before the steroid thing came into the game.
I think so. He played into the mid to late 80s, I think. I'd have to check. But
and so as people started voting on him in the early 90s, which is pre-steroid.
Correct.
So it's like that's not a factor.
No.
The steroids are not why Garvey's not in there.
No, because ultimately you're grading them against your peers. You're not grading them against another era in history.
And I don't know what he's done subsequently. Has he gotten goofy after playing? Like, I don't know anything about him. I remember when he played, it was like him and Gary Carter. I couldn't stand. Like, stop smiling.
Oh,
like,
Gary Carter was so annoying.
You have big, fake, smiling DB. Like, that's just all how I remember Steve Garvey. Like, you're just Mr. Perfect. Would you wipe that freaking smile off your face?
Totally phony.
Phony. I thought he and Gary Carter, like, those are the two guys. But I wouldn't keep him out of the Hall of Fame because I didn't like he smiled too much. Matt in Chelmsford. Go ahead, Matt, on the Celts. There you go.
Hello.
Yes, Matt, you're up.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment. Dakota kind of touched all the bases, but this Celtics team is pathetic. They beat Sacramento Kings. They're all giddy on the sidelines, putting towels on the heads. I mean, this is ridiculous. They got to break the team up. They're not going to win it this year. If they get into the playoffs, they'll win maybe a round, maybe. This team, there's something in the middle there that's going wrong, and they better settle it quick.
Because we've been saying that for 2 years. Thanks for the call. So if you're just coming around to that, we've felt that since the bubble. There's something not right with this mix. I do, if I'm being honest, though, I still sort of feel like in the back of my head there's a turnaround, like,
oh, Mike, what's wrong with you?
No, I feel the same way.
Because you know why? The talent's there.
Exactly.
So it's like,
that's what makes it frustrating.
It's like, if they ever did just figure it out, they'd be really good.
Why can't they play like every night like they did last night or even in the Wizards game?
And it's 2 years running and they haven't figured it out, so they probably won't. But it's sort of like, I don't know, Murray. Man, I'm just a sucker. What can I tell you?
Because the answer to your question, Maz, is the least amount of adversity or a mean tweet is going to send them completely sideways.
I agree,
two
Murray.
Two straight years of this. Don't fall for this crap.
Okay, but again, that's not about talent, though. So all I'm telling you is this. They should be better than they are.
Yeah, they all know that.
By a lot. By a lot. And so even the bad teams early in the year, they weren't blowing them out. They didn't do what they did last night because they're asleep half the time. So I feel the same way you do. It's there if you want to tap into it. Get your head screwed on straight and you can win.
John in Connecticut, go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi. Mike, you always say that there's no implications of the salary cap, but why wouldn't somebody like Jerry Jones then just not be able to buy a championship? Or why is Tampa Bay now all of a sudden after 2 years being, you know, right there saying, well, we can't keep it together?
No one can keep it together in any sport. No one can keep it together in any sport, whether there's a cap or no cap. It's the ebbs and flows of your roster. And when you get really good, you tend to sort of add to it and build up, and then you deleverage. You lever up, you lever down. Whether there's a cap or not, every sport has a cyclical nature of roster building. Baseball has no cap, and every baseball team goes through it. You are supposed to be, the Patriots are supposed to be master cap manipulators and financial manipulators, and they have had to undergo a pretty substantial reset of their roster. It just happens. Now, why doesn't Dallas just buy a championship? Let me tell you something that you may not understand, but Jerry Jones is a sneaky tightwad. He's sneaky cheap. When they did the rankings of actual cash spending in the last CBA, which I think went from 2011 to 2021, 10-year sample, the Patriots were right in the middle. They ranked 15th in real cash spending, which just tells you they could have spent more. They were league average in real cash spending. I think Dallas was dead last on the list.
I believe that's correct.
I think they were the 31st or 32nd in cash spending that last CBA.
Correct.
And I know it feels like Jerry Jones is like Daniel Snyder, and he'll just spend on this and spend on that and go over the cap. And it's really not the case. It's really not the case. He's sneaky cheap with his team. So there's your answer on Jerry Jones.
Absolutely.
But look, I mean, just spending money doesn't guarantee anything. No one's saying that. You've got to spend it smartly, and you've got to spend it in the right places. And you can make a lot of bad decisions spending money, just like you can make a lot of bad decisions at the draft. My only point is that if you spend and spend right, you're not in any trouble. You're just fine. And just because a team spends doesn't mean they're automatically stupid. It doesn't. If you're smart about it and do it in the right places, then you're just fine, as has been proven. As has been proven right now this year with these teams. We've got a follow-up thought on the quarterbacking in the league. We'll do it after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.